Hello, everyone. My name is Lino Farah, the host of Cribwolf Talks. Welcome back to our studio. Every month, we spotlight a nonprofit organization or a social business that provide many needed services to members of our vulnerable population. We have also had guest appearances from individuals whose work impacts challenges faced by members of our vulnerable population, primarily those with developmental disabilities, such as access to housing, employment, mental wellness, the lack of proper supports, inclusivity as it relates to community engagement, and the impact of rising cost of food and services. You can find all of our past episodes on our website, cribwolftalks.com, and on YouTube, and our webcast can be viewed on Cogeco's community channel, Your TV Halton. On today's program, I would like to spotlight a recent housing conference that I had the pleasure of attending, focused on affordable and supportive housing for individuals with developmental disabilities. The housing conference was named A Day on the Hill. One might ask, why an episode on a housing conference? You see, anytime social organizations and individuals have the opportunity to meet with government leaders, those who write bills and can bring about change, these events are worthy of reporting. So on March 27th of this year, members of the Intentional Community Consortium, the ICC, and its directors held its second housing conference in Ottawa, Ontario, our nation's capital. The first ICC conference was held pre-COVID period back in February of 2019. I had the pleasure of attending and participating as an elected board member of the ICC. What I experienced was truly amazing. I saw many MPs from various political parties and senators show their support by honoring us with their presence. In fact, this conference was co-hosted by the Honorable Yara Sachs, MP, the Liberal Party Parliamentary Secretary, to the Minister of Families, Children and Social Development. So our day on the Hill started with a press conference at 9:15 a.m. with the media. Speaking to the media on behalf of the ICC was Brian Keshen, CEO of RENA, Brad Saunders from Community Living Toronto, and Dr. Claudine Cousins with Empower Simcoe and Oasis. Watch this clip of the press conference.
Good morning. Bonjour. My name is Brian Keshen, CEO of RENA, founding chair of the Intentional Community Consortium. I'm joined today by members of the Provincial Network on Developmental Services, Ontario Association Supporting Individuals with Special Needs, and 70 other members of the ICC, here to talk about housing and the housing needs of people who are vulnerable. Today, the 70 representatives have come together to our nation's capital to address the importance of our national housing strategy, continuing to plan for and support citizens who are at risk of homelessness. The National Housing Strategy already recognizes that housing is a human right and acknowledges the risk and vulnerability to citizens with intellectual developmental disabilities by including a targeted housing strategy of 2,400 units. We're at risk of not achieving that. We're calling all involved to make sure we achieve that target sooner than later. We cannot erode the support that's there. With rising interests, costs that are growing, we can't cut back the investment in high-risk supportive housing. By increasing deeply affordable housing, the ICC seeks to provide solutions leading to better opportunities for those marginalized in our communities. For Canadians who are unfamiliar with the ICC, our group, the Intentional Community Consortium, is trying to pull together interested bodies, organizations, families, and individuals who care about housing solutions for those with intellectual disabilities. We're using scale of shared learning. We share our knowledge together and use it to help each other. We're trying to expand in multi-unit strategies, 20 units plus, not trying to do one-offs. We're combining our strengths as members and knowledge to effect change. Today, we will be meeting with MPs from all parties and look forward to this opportunity to speak on this issue. We hope that the budget includes a strategy for housing and in particular supports this high-risk population. I'd like to turn over the mic to my colleague Brad Saunders, CEO of Community Living Toronto.
Thank you, Brian. Good morning. Bonjour. As Brian mentioned, I am Brad Saunders. I'm the CEO of Community Living Toronto, and I'm pleased to be here as a member of the Intentional Community Coalition. Consortium. Community Living Toronto is a developmental services agency that employs 1,200 passionate, inspiring staff who support 4,000 children, youth, and adults and families across the City of Toronto. This year, we're celebrating our 75th anniversary, and our theme is belonging. We've been providing essential services to our community for more than 75 years. Today, we're looking forward to the opportunity to connect with MPs and politicians, supporters from across the country to invest and encourage the investment in housing in our sector. There is a huge need, a huge demand for housing. Just in Ontario, there are more than 13,000 people waiting for housing and more than 15,000 people inappropriately housed. And that number grows by about 1,200 people a year. It is critically important that safe, affordable, accessible, and inclusive housing be built for our sector, people with intellectual and developmental disabilities. Community Living Toronto's vision for housing is one which strikes a balance between inclusion and impact, creating spaces where people with intellectual disabilities can live in integrated communities that are diverse and have a level of involvement with the places that they live, and create a true sense of belonging. Later today, we are also officially announcing our partnership with Tridel to build on our 5-acre site in Scarborough into an inclusive community where people with and without disabilities can find a welcoming place to live, learn, work, and play. This project we hope will set a standard for how organizations and home builders can partner to meet housing needs for people across the country. Thank you for joining us, and I look forward to further discussions on this really exciting and important topic. I'd now like to turn it over to Dr. Claudine Cousins.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. As Brad said, I'm Dr. Claudine Cousins, and I'm CEO of Empower Simcoe, and we are also a member of the Intentional Community Consortium. And I am the vice chair of OASIS, the Ontario agency's supporting individuals with special needs. OASIS represents approximately 200 agencies in the developmental services sector in Ontario. The agencies we represent serve over 65,000 Ontarians with intellectual disabilities. And we are employers of nearly 30,000 full-time and part-time employees. OASIS not only provides leadership through sharing of ideas, information, and knowledge, we interact with all levels of government and other organizations on issues that affect our members. That is why we are here today. The impact the affordable housing crisis is having, especially on individuals with intellectual disabilities, needs to be addressed. We want to use our collective voices to implore MPs to recognize the importance of the National Housing Strategy as an opportunity to improve the lives of people with developmental disabilities. So what we're collectively asking for is this. At the federal level, we're looking for investments through co-investments. We can't all do this by ourselves. That represent an updated cost as inflation has gone up, financing, and other market forces add costs, particularly in the deeply affordable supportive housing developments. We want the federal investments to establish a dedicated pathway for deeply and affordable supportive housing, like ICC, the Intentional Community Consortium, that will generate secondary benefits for the community, including reduced health costs and related social and policing supports. At the provincial level, we're looking at housing for individuals with developmental disabilities by earmarking 10% of the National Housing Strategy funding to this critical need, and requiring municipalities to also commit accordingly. At the municipal level, we're looking for partnership with local agencies, those with developmental disabilities and those without, to build more housing, establish an equitable assignment of land, funds, and resources for affordable, accessible, and supportive housing for individuals with developmental disabilities. We also want to ensure favorable zoning We know how difficult that is to allow for more inclusive communities providing affordable, accessible, and supportive housing. So I want to thank all levels of government for all what they've done so far, but there's so much more to do. But I know we can all do it. So now I'd like to turn it over to Ryan Marsh.
Hi, my name is Ryan Marsh. I've been in Reno since 2009, and I lived at 404 Whitmore for 4 years before moving to RCR 2012. At that time, I had to share an apartment with a roommate, and then I gained skills and to be independent, and then I got my own apartment at RCR. And then I got employment through Channel's day program running out from RCR. And I had multiple jobs. And I went to go visit my mom in Calgary last year. And before I couldn't do that stuff. And now I can, and currently I'm working at RCR, Reno Community Residence, as a reception job.
Hi, good morning, everyone. I'm Ralph. I am 28 years old. I love cooking. I love cleaning.
How long have you been with Community Living Toronto?
I've been with Community Living Toronto a few years.
Where did you used to live?
I used to live at Wheelwright, Scarborough.
Mm-hmm.
I also go to church, bowling. I'm more interactive with the community. I have a lot of friends out in the community.
Where do you live now?
I live at Treddy Way.
What is Treddy Way?
Treddy Way is a organization, like an apartment.
Apartment building, yeah.
Building.
What do you like about Treddy Way?
What I like about it is that I have my own apartment. And
how old's the building? Is it a new place or an old
place? It's a new place.
Great. What kind of things do you like about your new building?
I like how the balcony looks.
Mm-hmm.
I like how the kitchen looks.
Yeah.
I like how you don't have to go downstairs for the laundry.
And it says here, why do you love living at Treddy Way?
Why do I love living at Treddy Way? Because it's
gives you more space.
Gives you more space and more community activities.
Great. Anything else you want to say?
I'm also good at riding the TTC.
Good. Anything else?
No.
Okay. Good job.
Well done. Thank you.
Thank you.
So housing is essential, and we'll take questions, but just want to remind people how challenging it is to find a home for people with disabilities. The fire safety regulations limit access in many locations. The B3 fire safety standard, as an example, limits three people who get support to one building. If you have three or more people in the same building getting supports, that building is no longer considered safe unless it meets that code. Most buildings do not meet that code, so people are thrown out of housing. Finding housing is difficult when you have $520 a month for rent. That's your provision. So finding deeply affordable, finding accessible in a community that's willing to surround you with support is also challenging. So those combinations of things have been the challenges we're facing, and an investment and a continuous investment is needed to sustain that kind of housing. So if there are any questions, I'm glad to answer them.
There's no question in the room. There's no question on Zoom as well. So Make a closing remark, go ahead.
Yeah, so today we are one step along a pathway to increasing housing. Together, we're hoping nationally we open up our communities, we open up our planning cycles, we open up our investments and create space for every citizen. Housing is a human right. Thank you. Merci.
I hope you enjoyed watching our morning press conference. It truly set the stage for the balance of the day. But after the press conference, our day on the Hill moved to a parliamentary room in the Valor Building. Once everyone cleared security, our conference room began to fill up. On one end of the room, I sat with my newly elected ICC board members, and all 70 of the attending ICC members and guests sat in the middle of the room, and at the opposite end was the speaker's podium. The balance of the morning and early part of the afternoon consisted of a series of interesting talks from visiting MPs and key members of the ICC. The first speaker to address the room was Gary Gladstone, who as chair of the ICC provided a very important insight as to the evolution of the ICC and the agenda for the day. I thought it was important for the MPs to hear why the ICC evolved. Basically, it can be argued that for many years, agencies and smaller social organizations tend to work in silos, providing services to those they serve within their community, and some continue to address the critical lack of supportive housing for individuals with developmental disabilities. The why became even more important as the session moved forward, allowing all of those in attendance to hear several interesting talks from various key members of the ICC, who are doing great work, and at the podium presenting updates on their exciting supportive living housing projects that were either completed or an upcoming project. I firmly believe that these successful housing stories resonated throughout the room and was evident when many MPs stood up at the podium and voiced their accolades and support. MPs, again, regardless of their party affiliation, stated that members were doing valuable work to help those who need our help in the community, primarily those persons with developmental disabilities. As the day progressed, the synergies of the members and the MPs in the room became more evident. The ICC's main role is to advocate for more funding and legislation for new housing, whether it be affordable or the much-needed, deeply supportive affordable housing throughout Ontario and, yes, the rest of Canada. There was an opportunity for everyone attending the conference to move to the House of Commons for the Q&A session held by the MPs. I, on the other hand, missed the Q&A session, or should I describe it as the unproductive heckling period. Seriously, imagine going to work and being bombarded with insults all day. As it turned out, I, along with two other ICC board members, were invited by the MP, Mike Morris, for a special tour of the House of Commons. It was great seeing all of the large paintings of the former Prime Ministers of Canada and a walk through a lounge area where many MPs seemed to be interacting with each other without any arguments and honestly in a very respectful manner. After a Q&A session, our group reconvened to our end-of-day reception held at the Speaker of the House reception room hosted by the Honourable Anthony Rota, Speaker of the House. Perhaps this was my favourite part of the day, a time where members of the ICC could all mix with so many MPs who, after a busy day in the House of Commons, could finally take time to join our group, some stepping up to the podium and voicing their support, and others, due to their time constraints, simply joining our conference session and acknowledging their support for more funding and more housing for individuals with developmental disabilities on wait lists, ready to transition to clean, safe, deeply affordable housing with access to supports as needed. I cannot stress enough that it did not really seem to matter what party the members of Parliament represented, as evident from their comments and genuineness. The ICC created a very informative booklet that was made available to members and MPs in attendance. One important feature of this booklet is a section that specifically lists the ICC ask from all levels of government. The ICC booklet worded these requests to each level of government as follows. The ICC ask for the federal government read, federal investments through co-investment fund reflect updated costs as inflation, financing, and other market forces add cost, particularly for the deeply affordable, supportive housing development. 2, establish a dedicated pathway for deeply affordable and supportive housing like the ICC that will generate secondary benefits to the community, including reduced health costs and related social and policy supports. The ICC ask of the provincial level was as follows: provincial investment in housing for individuals with developmental disabilities by earmarking 10% of the National Housing Strategy funding to this critical need and requiring municipalities to commit accordingly. The ICC asked for the municipalities was 3 distinct points: partner with local agencies servicing those with developmental disabilities to quickly build more housing; 2, establish an equitable assignment of land, funds, and resources for affordable, accessible, and supportive housing for individuals with developmental disabilities; and 3, ensure favorable zoning to allow for more inclusive communities, providing affordable, accessible, and supportive housing. Now, you can access a copy of this booklet on the cribwolftalks.com website. As I close today's program, I'd like to congratulate all of my fellow board members of the ICC: Gary Gladstone, Ann Billadou, Dave Petko, and Patricia Franks, for their role with the ICC, which our viewers should know is above and beyond their core work with their own nonprofit organization. Gary Gladstone, who's chair of the ICC, is a lead stakeholder relations at RENA, who, along with his colleagues at RENA, Fred Weingas, Brian Keshen, Sandra Albioni, and a host of others, dedicated many hours to help stage a very successful housing conference in Ottawa, acknowledged by all the MPs and senators as a most favorable initiative. The road ahead continues to be challenging. The ICC and the hundreds of its members are committed to their goals. However, it will require, as stated throughout this important housing conference, that for targets and goals to be reached, it will need to have all levels of government to do their part, for member agencies to properly plan, seek funding, and initiate their housing plans, for the general public to recognize that the fundamental right for an individual with developmental disabilities to housing, access to supports as needed, to employment and community acceptance, and for the media to continue to shed light on many areas that impact the quality of life for those within our vulnerable population. Sure enough, the work required is challenging, required and time-consuming. Having met many of the people behind these social businesses, I can honestly tell you they care and they are committed. Funding is key, and everyone I met at the Ottawa conference understands what the issues are, the challenges and obstacles faced by individuals with developmental disabilities, the wishes of their caregivers, and their critical lack of deeply supportive, affordable housing in this province and most likely across our great nation. Every member organization is a trailblazer, and they exist because they are needed. As a parent of a person with developmental disabilities, I know we all want to create an environment where the needs of persons with developmental disabilities are fulfilled. For this to happen, we must ensure they are seen, they are heard, they are respected, and they're happily engaged. Therefore, their lives are enriched. We must also remember that although many individuals with developmental disabilities do live in a variety of inclusive homes and are receiving support services, there are still thousands throughout Ontario and the rest of Canada still awaiting adequate, deeply affordable, supportive housing. Many are still living as adults with aging parents. I believe the ICC conference in Ottawa on March 27th of this year was a milestone, a much-needed step in ensuring that we all must find a way to work together. It is not just any one group, rather a collaborative initiative that includes our federal, provincial, and municipal leaders, community residents, parents caring for the individuals with developmental disabilities, and the individuals themselves to be an active participant in the process. I hope you have all enjoyed learning about our day on the Hill and seeing our clips and photos of the day. If you'd like to view any of our previous webcasts, key in 2 words, Cribwolf Talks on YouTube, and follow us on Your TV Halton, Cogeco's community channel covering local news and productions in the Burlington, Oakville, and Milton areas. You can also find all our podcast webcasts on our website, cribwolftalks.com. We continue to receive several requests to appear on our program, and we will find a spot for everyone. If you are doing great things in the community, impacting the lives of those within our vulnerable population, and wish to share your message on a future webcast, write to info@cribwolftalks.com. As always, I look forward to hosting our next episode of Cribwolf Talks. Remember, those within our vulnerable population need our help. Sometimes change is required, especially when it enriches lives. My name is Lino Farah. Thank you for watching Cribwolf Talks. Be well and stay safe.